Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Rambles. It's Anita. This is my last show of 2017. And I just wanted to say thank you guys for listening. Yeah, I know I made a long show, but I had a lot to talk about. I mean, it's the end of the year. We didn't have as many celebrity deaths yet. Thank God. No traumatic well, there was a messed up election, you know, the whole Roy Moore situation, which I will relate his wife, Kayla, to something a deleted Facebook friend wrote, but no separating presidential elections. We did have Charlottesville, which showed the racism that's still prevalent in America. And I really shouldn't say still, because as a black female in America, it's like, I already know the deal. It exists. When I was in high school, I had somebody use the ethnic slur, and it's like, oh my gosh. So, yeah. So there was Charlottesville. It's just now it's more out in the open. Sort of like, and it's gonna sound like everybody knew the stereotype of the gay hairdresser or the gay choir director. Like, it's always been there, but now you're acting surprised that it's out in the open. Sexual harassment, again, it's one of those water is wet things with Harvey Weinstein and now Matt Lauer. And then tomorrow, for all I know, it could be the CEO of Viacom. I can't remember his name, but it's like water is wet. The casting couch is real. Everybody has known somebody who was really, really, who was pretty, who got a job. And you she wasn't the smartest bulb, and they had to have people around her to fix it. And I know my shirt manager's like that. So, there's that. There was the wedding, which I talked about on the last episode, and it's like, yeah. Bad clients. Yesterday and today. And I'm not even on my period, and I was just annoyed. Like, oh my goodness. Now, this is where it was posted. I told you that. Well, I didn't have it in, and it was just so upsetting, the rudeness of people not following directions. But then people vote against their own best interest, the women who voted for Roy Moore. So we will talk about, first up, the Roy Moore. I was surprised he lost to Doug Jones. It gave me a glimmer of hope because, let's face it, Doug Jones was famous for prosecuting the Birmingham church bombing. For those who don't remember, that bombing killed some of Condoleezza Rice's friends and four innocent black girls died. This was in the 60s. They didn't get justice until like 30 years later. So that is why the Black Lives Matter people, because it's like, okay, it should not take 30 years for children who were killed in a church bombing to get justice. But in the South, unless you look a certain way, you're not going to get justice. That's why Black Lives Matter are mad, because you have a couple hundred years of that. You sort of develop a chip on your shoulders. So, and Jones was up against Roy Moore, a religious zealot. Never underestimate religious zealots. No matter what religion, Christianity, every religion has their crazy people in their religion. Roy Moore, the whole Ten Commandments, even though it goes, I am for religious freedom. As an American, I do believe in religious freedom. As long as your religion's not hurting me. You know, you heard the joke about how religion is like the male anatomy. Just don't poke it in my face. Don't be rude. Don't use it to deny my human rights. So, and the Constitution says separation of church and state. We don't have we are a Christian nation, but we're not explicitly. Okay. Yeah, there's for God on the paper money, but that's only been like something that's happened in the last 60 years, propaganda. But Roy Moore took it to the Muslims can't serve because they can't swear in on a Bible. They have their own version of the Bible. The Quran is their version. They can swear on that. If they're not even an active one, they could pull an FDR and swear on a copy of their law review because they have to uphold their law, you know, American law. So they could swear on a copy of the Constitution. You know, you're willing to uphold it? Okay, fine. Got better things to worry about. His whole wanting the Ten Commandments of the courthouse. Now, how many people in the courthouse actually follow the Ten Commandments? I'm not being mean or anti-religious when I say it, but considering how many of those DAs, male DAs, are cheating with the secretary, because that is a cliche, the lawyer sleeping with the secretary. How many of them have lied? How many of them have caused fake confessions to, you know, reach their quota? You know, lying under oath. There's something in the Bible about lying. You're lying on the Bible. At least the most, they don't believe. If you're a true, you think of God, Jesus as a prophet, but, and you respect it, but you're not emotionally involved in Christianity like the Christian who is lying under oath and disobeying the commandments. And every religion has their own form of commandments that you should or should not. I mean, even Satanists do. But anyway, so yes, this religious zealot, they was allegedly, in, when he was in his 30s, wanting to fool around with 14-year-olds. He met his wife when she was a student, allegedly, who was performing. I mean, what 30-year-old is going to go to a high school performance of a child he or she doesn't really know like that? Like, okay, I have friends with kids. I would probably go, because, you know, I've known them since they were little kids. They're not my kids, but at least I have it. And it's also sexist to say, but as a female, you know, Mary Kay Litter, not that out. But you can go to your friends. People don't look at you weird. And there's like, they just don't. But if you are a 30-year-old man, unless you are like the godfather or the uncle, why are you here? Like, I'm pretty sure there was somebody in that high school auditorium like, why is the DA who got banned from a mall in this high school auditorium for this performance? Like, there had to, I know there was somebody there, because there's always that one person who was like that. So this man ran again. It's not religious zealot. And there were religious zealots that followed him. According to the polls, most white women in Alabama voted for him. It's like, you voted against your own best interest. This man is, oh, alleged. Well, it's like a different time. You're right. That's not accepted. A lot of things that were accepted 56 are not accepted now. You know, using racial slurs, banning people from a business, which to me is silly because we are a consumer-driven capitalistic society. So you say no blacks allowed, and you go out of business, don't complain. And don't pull a Black Wall Street and burn down the black businesses because you didn't allow black people in those businesses. They started their own. That's capitalism. That's what our nation is built on. People don't like to talk about it. It's like capitalism is a dirty word. No, that is what most non-communist countries are built on. I like capitalism. I'm a consumer. I am also a person who makes products. So, either way, I'm a part of this. But there was a tie, and now Roy and his, he's contesting it because it's like I lost by 1%. That's sort of upsetting. It's like you lost by 1%. That's it. But all these people who voted against their best interest, I can't complain if I vote against my own best interest. I can complain that I was silly enough to continue to do it. But I can't complain for other people. No. That's annoying. Stop it. Stop the, you know, Susan Powers or whatever. Stop the insanity. No, I don't want to hear it. If you are willing to endanger your life or your children's life, do not complain. Matt Lauer, I can't say you condoned it. Like, the higher-ups who at Universal / NBC, they were probably doing the same thing. Or worse, you look the other way because he was making you money. I mean, let's face it, the Today Show is the gold mine of morning news is the gold mine because even if people don't watch the evening news, they're going to watch the morning news because it's soft. I mean, they may have some hard-hitting news, but it's not as formal as evening news. It's more entertaining. I mean, I know that sounds sort of redundant, but you can also get your traffic reports when you're going to work, assuming you don't work from home. So it's more of a crown jewel than evening news. This is just my opinion. You knew he was doing it for 20 years. There is no, I mean, I know there's unsubstantiated rumors, but those unsubstantiated rumors have a bit of truth. And if this unsubstantiated rumor, it's not like he just started out 20 years ago doing it. There were probably rumors about it before he even got on in the Rockefeller Plaza when he was just visiting and interviewing. You didn't want to listen to those secretaries, and I'm using the phrase secretary, not administrative assistant, because of when he started doing the news, when he was first in college. He was the horny frat guy who was cute. I mean, he's still handsome, but there were probably rumors going back to when he first had his television job. You chose to hire him because you were doing worse. And you let it go on because he was making you money, much like Harvey Weinstein. He's making you money. You're looking the other way. You're more to blame because you're enabling him. And I had a networking event where they talked about how the enabler and the addict, you're exploiting it to make yourself money. You're worse than him. If you stopped it, if you wrote him up before then, he wouldn't have gotten this far because he wouldn't have had, he would have had an incentive not to. It's sort of like if you tell your child a million times, I'm going to take your phone, and you don't, and he knows you're not, he's going to do worse. It actually reminds me of something an ex said to me, and it really made me be like, no, you know, pull a Taylor Swift, we were never, ever getting back together. He said, because I know you'll always be there. Now, he had messed up one too many times, and he said that on the phone, and I just snapped. Not in the oxygen network snap, but in the, you know, I don't have time for this. And I was in my 20s, and it's like, boy, bye. I know it sounds very Beyonce, and I like Beyonce. I did not make a whole song saying I want to marry a man like my dad, and then I did, and I made a whole album of it. That's why I respect Beyonce. I like some of her songs. I have some of her albums. I just don't have Lemonade because, frankly, with Lemonade, you got what you wanted. Why am I sitting here listening to a whole album of you complaining about something you wanted? No. And again, going back to what I said about with the Roy Moore thing and with Matthew Lahr, you condoned it for 20, 30 years probably because, like I said, he was probably doing this when he was an anchor before the Today Show. Unsubstantiated rumors, give him a chance, blah, blah, blah. You know, boys will be boys. By saying that, you left the gate open for sexual. It's been going on forever. And until the men in power, and I know people will say that's very anti-feminist to say the men in power do something, but at the end of the day, there are more men in power than more women. Look at how many Fortune 500 companies have women in charge. Very, very few. Look at how many Fortune 500 companies have men in charge, a lot more. So until those men start calling out their gender or and their race, because it's also mostly, and I'm not trying to be racist, but it's mostly white men have that power to call out other white men. If a black man does it, he gets kicked out. If a black woman does it, we all know what happens. If a woman does it, she has, if a non-WOC, WOC, woman of color does it, it's not, she's a shrew. She gets blackballed a la Mira Sorvino. She's taken a little more seriously, but it's still going to have to be a white man in power who does something to publicly shame and discipline the person, the one who's doing this. And then don't wait until it's a Vanity Fair interview beginning to cost you money and you realize you want them gone. Do something before. Nip it in the bud. Nip it before then. It's like, okay, he gets written up. Don't let it be, oh, boys will be boys. Oh, he reminds me of when. No. Okay, if you feel like that, you're fired too because you knew better. You've been in this game long enough to know right from wrong. And you do it anyway because of your zeitgeist or whatever. I don't know. But that time no longer exists. You are, no. And don't get mad when you get called out. You let it get that far. You're more to blame. You enabled him to get that far. So then there is the McKellen thing with the DEA. I was talking to some of my friends about it today, a Washington Post article. It was a major case because it involved pill mills. And frankly, if I'm a company and I'm worth $200 billion, what's a $100 million fine? And I'm not being mean when I say it, but that's barely 1% of my worth. I don't care. For those who don't know, you can check out the Washington Post article. Basically, the FDA did an investigation of McKellen. I think it's McKellon, I think. But anyway, the FDA did an multi-year investigation of pill mills because of the opium epidemic, which is something even Trump brought up. It's like, we got to do something. He may have mispronounced the company, the agency that deals with public health, mixing it up with another one that was basically broke. And by basically broke, I mean like 32,000. And if you're a government organization, 32,000 barely covers what you spend on paper to print up citations. So really 32, 54, that's barely enough to cover the supply list, the basic supplies like pens and paper. But anyway, so you have an opium epidemic, you have pill mills, and the FDA wanted to stick it to the drug man, because it's like, how do you not notice these small towns are ordering this exorbitant amount of drugs? Perfectly rational thing, because it's like, okay, if I see an uptick in a place like, I'm going to use Irmo, which is outside of Columbia, South Carolina. If a place is as small as Irmo, and they are ordering as many hydrocodones as Atlanta, how do you not notice this? And they did an investigation. They were like, we got to give them a real fine. And the FDA lawyers were like, we'll give them something. And that something, according to the Washington Post, was only like $50 million more than what their CEO made. Now, again, this is a $200 billion company. It's like, can we at least give them a $1 billion fine? Again, it's like 0.5% of their net worth. No, we're only going to get, and $50 million of $200 billion is like less than 0.0, like that's like 0.0%, or okay, 0.03% maybe. So that's a joke. And that made a lot, even made some of the FDA agents like, this is a joke. And it's like, y'all, when you look at how much this company is worth, y'all, even with the $1 billion fine, yeah, okay, that is 0.5%, but it's still bad PR and it's still sticking it. But they didn't. And if, again, if you'd like to look up more information about this case, it is a Washington Post article. And they really had no incentive. And it was also the CEO's salary plus somebody else's plus 50. But still, it was barely 0.0% of, it maybe have been like 0.1% of 200. Okay, 0.1% of 200 billion, B-I-L-L-O-N, is 200 million. So even if the fine came up to 200 million, is still like, okay, this is less than 1%. I don't, you know, in the immortal words of one of my favorite 90s diva, Mariah, I don't know her, so I don't know if I'm that little, whatever. So it may have been like 150 million fine, so not even like a full 0.1%. It leaves people frustrated, because how can you say, okay, we have a war on opium epidemics and all these, but the companies are not even getting a 1% fine. I have no incentive. Yeah, I'm not even getting bad, maybe getting an article, but then you consider the article that is in fake news. So again, and then I'm spending like $250 million on lobbying. Again, I have no incentive to care. I don't know this. I don't care. But if you're a $200 billion company, that's probably how you feel. So there's that, and then there's the bad clients the last 2 days, actually missed two networking events, and I've been going to more networking events and getting out of my shell, and it feels really good because salt making and podcasting are sort of solitary, so it's not so much about meeting clients, and I have met some potential clients through networking events, but it's also socializing and wearing clothes other than jeans. And I love my jeans. I mean, I went through college. That was an argument with an ex about why don't you wear a dress? And now it's like I'm in jeans or I'm in my nightshirt because I finished my NaNoWriMo and I actually posted about it on Facebook. I'm working on soaps or I'm working on pot. And yes, I do actually research some of my episodes of my podcast. And I do go to my writing group, and I wear jeans mostly to my writing group. I don't really dress up, and it's like, okay, I miss this. I miss putting on business casual stuff. It's one of those things I miss about being in an office and shoes other than tennis shoes. I miss this. I need to get out and, you know, be around somebody other than the dog. And she's asleep. She's been hyperactive and sort of crazy. And when Superman was alive, it's like, okay, I've got to get out and do more to the world. So finally signed up for some that, and they were really, really fun. And most of them had really good food. Now, the first one, when I went back into the land of networking, I did one in May, and that was really good, but I didn't have the right kind of business cards. And then I got some new business cards. And when I run out of these, I got to get some more business cards. But the one I went to a few weeks ago, no food, and it was like 7:30 in the morning. And then it led to another event, and then that led to another one. And it was like, oh, this is really good to be around people and, you know, interact versus on the phone. And speaking of on the phone, I had a potential client, even though I was clear about having a phone number. Did they send it? And then Immortal Words, Randy Jackson, no dog. That's a no dog. And it was like, I can't believe you didn't even pay attention to what I put. It was a no dog. That was the second annoying. No, that was the first annoying client I had today. And then I had another one who was just rude. And then I had one yesterday. So, yeah. But I missed that, you know, professional and getting advice and social life. It felt really good, and it's something I got to get more into. And you know, I'm still going to do the soaps and podcasts and stuff. And if you'd like to look at some of my soap work, you can email the email I use for my soaps at icaga2004@gmail.com. Again, for my soaps, it's icaga2004@gmail.com. I as in igloo, C as in car, A as in apple, G as in George, A as in apple, 2004, the numbers, @gmail.com. So, yeah. And it's like, oh, wow. And I even took pictures at some of them. Like, it wasn't like corporate. It was more of, okay, pictures of the decorations and the food. Not just because it was like the food was gorgeous. And even the designs of it, like the decorations, that's the word. It was wonderful. Like, I never would have thought of using blue and silver for Christmas, and it so worked, and it so looked contemporary and modern. I was like, I love it. Like, I don't have that talent for decorating like that. And I finally washed my hair. I did a co-wash earlier in the week, but it was also time to like use a sulfate shampoo, and I know this is TMI, but I do have a dandruff, so I finally used some Head and Shoulder, and I deep conditioned it, and I got in this discussion with Sarah Goodmom about sulfates. Like, she really doesn't care, like, because she's like my mom. So I was like, I don't care about the whole sulfate versus non-sulfate debate. It's like, whatever. I mean, she's not like mean about it, but you know, it's like, whatever. So we got in a discussion because I'm like, I'm not like, non-sulfate shampoos don't really work on my hair. Non-sulfate conditioners, like, whatever. Because, and I love Pantene Gold's co-wash, you know. For me, I think it's a little expensive because I'm used to co-washing with like Suave. So to go from like $1.79 Suave to when I bought the co-wash from Pantene, it was like $10. I was like, what? But it wasn't like Carol's Daughter expensive, but it still worked. And I'm like, I love it. And I sort of like their conditioner milk. I think I may go back to using Cantu with some jojoba oil. Like I add the jojoba oil to the Cantu, and I may try that again. But the Pantene co-wash, I love it. And I used that earlier in the week, and then today I got it in my head to use some Head and Shoulder and my favorite deep conditioner, even though I still haven't put any jojoba oil. I've got to go buy some jojoba oil this week once I get more clients. Take care of some other shopping. And I'm almost out of soap. I mean, I've got enough for a couple of orders, but I may just, if I'd have to check my things because I know I've still got olive oil, honey, and some goat's milk and some shea butter left. And I did have a client not pick up their soap, which I thought was very rude, even though I reminded them of it. I know it's petty, but it's true. It was a bad client. And I actually got into a discussion with another business person about keeping a blacklist of clients that are rude and a reason in a day. I know it's petty, but it's not Mueller petty of, you know, having people read over 1,000 pages and getting emails. That is some housewife petty. And that's why me and one of my friends, we like read up on Robert Mueller. Like he's a real housewife. It's like some people watch the ratchetness of Real Housewives franchise. It's like, why? Mueller is just is more petty than these women, and it is scandal. Meets Real Housewives. We're going to read this, and we're going to discuss this like we're watching it. That's what we do. We text like back and forth about it and talk about it on the phone for like an hour. It's like, oh my God, did you see what Mueller did? Yes. Did you see what Comey did with his pettiness of the Bible verse in the picture? I was like, yes. That's how we look at it. And I know some people will be like, this is Russian collusion. But my generation really, we had, I mean, I was in high school with the whole Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky thing. And then the Whitewater case, I was a kid. But Lewinsky and the impeachment, frankly, at 15, 16, I was more interested in watching Sunset Beach and listening to 98 Degrees. I still listen to 98 Degrees. Their second album was the first non-CD replacement, non-replacement in CD form that I bought. So, yes, I have a – and I know most other people, millennial females my age, were more NSYNC and Backstreet. And I like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, too, but I was still more of a 98 Degrees fan. And then they were on Motown. Yeah, a lot of people forget their – and then you had Motown, and then Motown went to PolyGram, and then PolyGram was bought out by Universal. So that's why their second album, 98 Degrees and Rising, was like literally a 180 over their debut album, which was more of a Motown sound. But now that I'm older, it's like, oh my goodness, this is like Scandal, like meets Real Housewives. Oh my goodness. It's like you should be serious about it. But it's still interesting. I mean, it has characters. And I'm pretty sure when my mom, I don't know, I didn't really ask my bio mom about what it was like to live through Watergate. And she was like, I think Watergate was like 74. So she was like 20, 21 because her birthday's in June. So she was like, I don't know if she was even this interested, or maybe she was more interested in soap operas. But as an adult, I can appreciate a good political scandal more. Maybe it's one of the benefits of, you know, watching Shonda Rhimes shows. I don't know. Maybe it's just getting older. Maybe it's just because television, there's only so much ratchet housewives you can watch before you're like, I want to see the political aspect. And that's what, you know, Mueller is doing. Mueller is on his pettiness. And I like it. And I know it's horrible, but it's very interesting. And if this were other countries, America would be laughing. And, yeah, so that's everything that's going on. And I have summarized it and talked for almost 30 minutes. This is Rambles. I'm Anita. Thank you for listening and have a great Sunday. Bye.